There's no free lunch when it comes to investing. But what about a podcast that delivers educational content on investing, financial planning, items of interest, and even the odd wacky topic? Welcome to the Free Lunch Podcast, hosted by Canvas Wealth. Free Lunch will bring listeners the team's vast knowledge and experience in dealing with uncertainty. Learn more and subscribe today at canvaswealth.ca.
Welcome back to the Free Lunch Podcast with Greg and Jacob. That's a different combination, Jacob. I don't think you and I have had a chance to sit down and discuss things in this podcast yet.
No, this is the first time and looking forward to it.
So you've been working with Canvas Wealth for
just about 9 months now.
9 months in total, yeah.
I started as a summer student in May and
right.
Transitioned to an associate wealth advisor role in September.
Right on?
Yeah.
Okay, good for you. Well, you know, today is going to be a little bit different. I thought it would make sense today just to talk a little bit about, you know, what happens in this career. I spent almost 30 years in this career. You're a young guy starting out 4.5 months as an advisor. So maybe today what I thought we could do is just talk a little bit about, you know, sort of comparing what the actual career of being an investment advisor and a wealth advisor looks like compared to what you think it is when you're just starting out. So this is going to be kind of sharing wisdom, I guess, between me and you.
Sounds great. Looking forward to it.
Okay. So listen, this is not about building wealth quickly for yourself as an advisor. It's not about getting rich quick or even making your clients rich quick. This is more about building a long-term business where your clients appreciate and value the services, you know, that you're providing. So let's talk about the first lesson, which is something that I learned a long time ago. But the first lesson is, this is a people business, even if you wish it wasn't. So basically, every advisor starts off by thinking, okay, this business is all about investing. You go to school, you go on training, and all they talk about, for the most part, is investing. But it turns out that you learn over time that actually, it's a little bit different than that. Because when you come in, thinking that the differentiator between you and any other advisor is knowledge.
Yeah, you're absolutely right on that one. And that's something that I learned very quickly on. And I would say that one hurt a little bit, especially
yep.
when you come in new.
Yep.
You know, you think of everything that you learn in school and how you can apply all this technical knowledge, you know, to help your clients, you know, continue to build their wealth. But it extends far beyond just annual returns.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah, and actually over time you realize the real work is in listening, you know, to your clients' needs and goals, translating complexity into something simple that people can understand, you know, and just sitting with people, being with people during times of uncertainty, which we hope don't come around too often, but they certainly come around at least once a year.
Yep, absolutely. You know what? The markets are easy, but the people are the hard part. But they're also, that's the most meaningful part of what we do.
Absolutely. And you know, it takes a long time to sort of get there. I think you've got the advantage now of working with people that have had that experience and can, you know, can impart that to you to help you avoid making some of the early career mistakes that many make. And that gets me to early career mistake number one, and that's trying to sound smart. And any retired advisor like myself would tell you this pretty bluntly, you know, just stop trying to sound impressive.
Yep.
Right?
Absolutely.
Because everybody, for the most part, gets the same training in terms of understanding markets, understanding investments, understanding the stock markets, the bond markets, everything that would be relevant to the actual service you're providing. But unfortunately, everyone, you know, early on in their career, they feel a need to prove that they belong or that they have that understanding.
Well, and that's just it. You know, when I first came in, you know, I thought that it was all about investments. I thought it was all about returns. And so you try to over-explain yourself. You try,
yep.
you over-qualify everything and you use jargon that, you know, many clients aren't familiar with.
For sure. Yeah. And clients aren't hiring you, to be impressed. You know, they're hiring you to feel understood. And so, you know, the career mistake of trying to sound smart should actually translate into the opposite. And the best advisors ultimately learn that clarity beats brilliance, you know, every time.
Absolutely. You know what? If you can't explain something simply, if you can explain something simply, you've earned the trust of that client. And it's about building that trust over a long time frame with those clients.
Absolutely. And that's really lesson number two, which is you need to build trust, before you essentially try to build a book. And, building a book is just our jargon for saying building a base of clients that, that depend on you for advice and for their financial well-being. So something that a retired advisor like myself would emphasize is that you need to slow down and not focus so much on, okay, I've got to go out and bring in client after client after client. You need to work with every client you bring in, build that trust, and let that lead to experience for yourself, the ability to empathize and understand what clients are going through. And if you do that, the business will come. You definitely want to look at, what service you're providing and what is your reputation? Because your reputation, will trump anything else, revenue or number of clients or assets under management.
If you don't have a strong reputation, and this is another thing that I learned very early on, is if you don't have a strong reputation, clients aren't going to want to stay with you. And ultimately that is, your reputation is your balance sheet, if you will.
Yep, absolutely. And you know what? People remember how you made them feel, especially when things go wrong. So part of building the client base is by building it one at a time, by getting people to trust you, by understanding them, and by making them feel that things will be okay even when times are bad, because we know that we've been through some very tough times in this business.
Absolutely. And one thing too to that point is, with that client relationship, it's about the entire relationship as a whole and not just about their, their financial goals. What is happening in their life on a personal level, getting to know them as if they're a friend.
Yep, because they are. Exactly. Now let's talk about lesson number three. You will be wrong at times, and you might be wrong a lot, and this is a big one. But the key is you probably won't be wrong in the long run. Let's say encouraging people to be fully invested, for example, to be well diversified, because what will happen is the markets will make you wrong, and if you hang in long enough, the markets will make you right again. If you get to a point where you need to feel like you're right all the time in terms of making projections or forecasts, for example, this career could eat you alive.
Absolutely.
Because the markets do what the markets will.
Yep.
And there's no ability to accurately predict the future.
Yep. And markets will humble you very quickly.
Absolutely. Yep. Markets, sometimes forecasts will fail. So we try not to make too many forecasts. Certain strategies may underperform, and unfortunately, clients can panic at the worst moments. And so, when you the best advisors don't pretend to be right all the time; they just use their experience and knowledge to help people through those perilous times.
Absolutely, yep. They build processes that work even when they're wrong, and that's goes to staying invested and staying in the market for that longer time frame.
Yeah, absolutely. Here's lesson number four. You want to set boundaries earlier than you think. This is something that many advisors learn over time. It comes from the sense of, I've got to be in control of everything. And so you feel like you need to be available 24/7 for clients, that nobody else can do the job that you're doing or can help you with anything to do with the client, answering emails at midnight, things like that. And I guess part of the issue is that, you can't do a good job for clients if you're exhausted.
No, you're absolutely right, Greg. And that's something that, I wouldn't necessarily have the experience of not having access to a mobile device where I can access my email 24/7.
Right on.
And I think that's something that, many advisors fall into, is receiving emails late at night, answering them, and then thinking about that, right?
Exactly.
And like you said, if you're exhausted, you can't do the job that your clients expect you to be able to do.
Yeah. And so when I discuss this one, it's interesting, because what we're not saying is don't be sensitive to clients' needs or, their situations where something, either where they're frightened or they're upset about something that's going on or something they read, and it becomes a very urgent issue for them.
Absolutely.
So we don't want to ignore that. All of us, whether we're all clients of someone for something, whether it's a doctor or a medical, you know, practitioner or what have you. So we're not saying ignore the client's needs. What we're saying is set up processes to make sure that the client's needs can be handled by the most appropriate person at the most appropriate time. You know, if clients come up with they realize on a Saturday that they need to have some money transferred to them on a Monday, they may send you an email saying, okay, I need this money transferred. There's nothing you can do on a weekend. The banks aren't operating. And so we don't ignore their requests, but we handle it in the most expedient way we can.
Absolutely.
And make sure that someone on the team is ready to deal with it first thing on a Monday morning. So, you know, you find the advisors in this business, the ones who last are the ones that build teams. So you're not a lone operator. It's not up to you to do absolutely everything for every individual client. They document processes so they can use processes to ensure that what a client needs at any particular time, whether it's a cash flow, a dividend payment, TFSA contribution, that these can be handled through the processes. And the advisors who protect their time. They work hard when they're at work and when they're able to help clients, and they give themselves time to take a break and to take a breath, essentially to avoid, you know, burning out.
Yeah, and burnout doesn't happen all at once. It happens quietly, just this once at a time, and that compounds over time.
Yeah, right on. Okay, another one, choose your clients, don't just accept them. That's really critical and very counterintuitive. You know, when I look back, when I started in this business 30 years ago, when I was on training, in fact, the person who was leading the training session came in on the last day of a 2-month training period and drew a big zero on the board. And, you know, he says, "Know what that is?" And the answer was, "That's how many clients you have when you get back to your office on Monday to start your new career." And so there's this feeling of panic. And there used to be this expression when I started, you may find this amusing, that, you know, anybody with $5 and a pulse, you know, was your best client. And, you know, and that's that sense that, okay, well, I need to build my business. I'm not going to survive if I don't build my business quickly. And so every client is a good client. And that's just not true. Nor is it true that every advisor is a good advisor, you know, from the client perspective. And so, you know, it's something that's highly counterintuitive, but it's something that's very critical to understand when you get into this business.
Well, and I think further to that point too, when you're in the idea of choosing your clients, you want to work with people, as I'm sure the clients want to work with people that are like-minded.
Yep.
And have, you know, whether it's similar interests or similar goals, but they want to help you,
mm-hmm.
right? And if you get clients that come in that, you know, maybe they don't want to be helped in the way that the service that we can provide, maybe it's not the right fit.
Absolutely. And like anything, it's really critical that there's a connection between client and advisor, that they understand and value what each other offers, you know. And there are clients, there's no bad clients, they're just people with different objectives. And we've run into people over the years that really want to do active stock trading or get into, sophisticated trading strategies using options or other, you know, other types of investing instruments. And if that's not what you do, if that's not your area of expertise, you're just not the right fit.
Absolutely.
For each other.
Absolutely. And I think the key to that is staying true to who you are and what you've built.
Yep. So, you know, the key being, you know, not to build the biggest book of business, but to build the right book of business. And what you want is clients who trust you, respect you, and align with how you work, you know, and that's what the clients want as well from their point of view.
Absolutely.
Yeah. To finish off this portion, I just want to talk about, you know, the long view, because you're starting out, you're a young guy, you know, obviously interested in this business. And basically this is or can be a 30-year game.
Yep.
You know, it's not something that you want to be spending your time and effort learning to be the best advisor and the most understanding and empathetic goals-based advisor you can be if it's going to be a 4 or 5 year project.
Or even 10.
Or even 10. That's right. So it's a business that builds slowly through consistency and not necessarily intensity. I'll tell you that, you know, if you're still here in 25 years, you'll be shocked at how fast it went. I know it went fast for me, and I know when I look back, I regret the way I felt or the way I behaved for certain periods of that. But I can tell you that the end game, in the end, after a lot of learning and working with Colin and other partners on how to run this business, when you learn what's important and what's not important, it does make things a lot more enjoyable for you and certainly better for the clients.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's something that as a young advisor just starting out in my career, that's something that I'm always looking to do every single day is learn more about how I can better service the clients that we have and continue to help grow our business.
Yeah. So just to sum up what we've talked about so far, you know, we're talking about what really matters. And I think I would summarize by saying, first of all, be human, you know, before being impressive. Build trust before you try to build, you know, a massive business. Accept that you'll be wrong from time to time. Again, not wrong on your investment advice, but wrong on just the markets don't behave the way you hoped or expected in the long run. In the short run, I should say. Protect your energy and play the long game. So let me ask you this. You've been here now for 9 months, but sort of in more of an advisor capacity for the last 4.5 months. What surprised you the most of how this business actually works compared to what you thought it might be like going through school?
Yeah, you know what? It's a really good question. And I would say there's one thing that comes to mind immediately, and it's that learning about the different investment products, different investment strategies through school.
Right.
But the biggest surprise to me, and I understood the importance of it ahead of time, but maybe not to the extent that it actually is those relationships and how critical building trust is.
Yep.
Because if you don't have trust, you won't have clients, right? You know, you could perform very well over the years in terms of the investments and the returns, but if you don't have a relationship or a connection with your clients, it's just another contact in their phone and in your phone.
Yeah.
So I would say it's building those relationships and then continuing to foster them throughout the period of time that you're helping to service them.
Right.
Because ultimately, if you're like-minded people and you know you become friends with these clients, you want them to achieve their goals.
For sure.
And I would say that was the biggest surprise from when I first started to where I am now is just the importance of continuing to build on those relationships.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think, you know, I think that looking back at my career, I would say it was understood, but not executed well. So I can tell you that I guess it was almost exactly 30 years ago that I was on training in Toronto. And the head of the organization that I was working for at the time came in, you know, and so this was the president of the company and, you know, very impressive guy. And he talked about how even then, 30 years ago, they understood, they knew from research that the reasons why clients stayed with their advisor was because they liked them and they trusted them. Yep. And not performance. And the reason why most clients would leave an advisor would be lack of service, not performance. And so performance really didn't figure in a lot. And it doesn't mean that performance, you know, account performance isn't important, but what it means is that the relationship itself is based on trust. And like, obviously, if you don't like the person you're working with, you're not going to enjoy working with them very much. And performance is just necessary, but it's not the main reason. And so when I talk about performance, and that was something that I learned over the course of the years, is that most clients don't need to have the best performance. They need to have good performance. And we learned, of course, that good performance usually is provided by the markets themselves. And so just by being broadly diversified and not taking big risks, the markets give good performance. You know, I think if you offered everybody in the world a chance to earn just the stock market's return over the last 50, 60, 100 years, they would be very delighted.
That they would be.
And so this need to chase performance when it's not that important to your clients just gets you in trouble.
Absolutely.
And so another thing that I learned, which you've already embraced this, but this concept of, you know, picking stocks, let's say, to try to outperform the market, it's a mug's game. We know that. It's been proven over and over again. But it reminds me back when I was quite new in the business, maybe only 2 or 3 years in, we had a fellow joined the firm, and he was a previous banker, so he had lots of experience building relationships with investors, with clients. But he didn't really understand the job. Like, so he thought his job was to find good stocks for clients, and he would spend more time on the Bloomberg terminal looking up research on individual stocks than he would talking to clients on the phone. And so he'd pick a stock, he phoned everybody that he knew to recommend that they buy this stock, and even if they didn't have an account with him, they were a contact, he'd call them, get them to open an account and buy one stock. And it didn't work out. It wasn't his fault that the stock didn't work out, but it didn't work out. It was the time, the late in the 1990s, 1998, there was a bear market for a short period of time. Everything got hammered, including his stock. The clients that he had no other basis to stay with him other than the fact that he recommended this stock. And so I use that as an example of not understanding what the job is.
Yep, absolutely. And you know what? I look at what it is that we do as almost like, think of it as a home. The investments and the return is one pillar of the home.
Yep.
The foundation and the walls of the home is the relationship with the client and the service that you offer.
Right on. Yeah. And that's a good analogy. And when I talk about, sort of like, what role do the investments play? Well, obviously it's a critical role. It's like, being an investment advisor, the investments are critical, just like an accountant understanding the tax code and filing tax returns properly. That's what they do. But that's not the whole picture.
Yep.
You know, and so for us, it's important to our clients that we understand investing. We understand what works and what doesn't work. We understand what mistakes to avoid. And that's kind of in the background. It's the it's kind of the bogey. It's the price of being in business. If you're in the cleaning business, you need to clean. You know, if you're a dentist, you need to, provide dental services. And in our business, yeah, we provide those investment services, but that's kind of the, as you say, it's the what'd you say? It's like the
one pillar.
Exactly. It's a pillar. But the relationship which allows us to engage with clients in a way that helps them by understanding what their goals are, what their financial goals, retirement goals, personal goals, what their fears are around money, for instance, to understand that and to be able to make this whole process of investing manageable for them, understandable, that's what really matters. And in the end, that's the biggest thing. And if clients are working towards achieving their goals, regardless of a specific, they don't care about a particular stock. They just care that they're going in the right direction and that they're going to be okay.
Yep.
And so really, again, focusing on what is the purpose of this business and what do we offer, and understanding what clients want. That's the key to the business, not whether Amazon is a buy or a sell. So what are the things that you look forward to doing over the next, 30 years of your career?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know what? I'm very fortunate to work with such a great group of people that I do. You know, that's one thing that, I think there's many people out there that they see their advisor and they think it's just kind of a one-man team. But that, at least in our case,
yep,
that's not true. We work as a collective. You know, we're all trying to reach a common goal.
Yep.
And that's something that over the next 30 years, I want to see continue to happen. I want to see that almost family-like atmosphere continue to grow. And then at the same time, continue to foster those relationships that have been maintained and built by previous advisors and continue to see the business grow in that way.
Yep. Well, I'm sure you'll achieve that goal. You're a smart young guy, and any clients that you work with will be well served. So good luck in your career.
Thank you, Greg. I appreciate it.
Okay, until next time.
Thank you for listening to the Free Lunch Podcast hosted by Canvas Wealth. To subscribe to this podcast to get more realistic insights on investing or to connect with one of our talented partners, please head on over to canvaswealth.ca. We'll see you next time on the Free Lunch Podcast.
Financial planning services are offered through Canvas Wealth. Portfolio management services are provided by Q Wealth Partners, a registered portfolio manager, investment fund manager, an exempt market dealer. Canvas is an owner and partner in the QWealth Partnership. The information discussed in this show, including any opinion, is based on various sources believed to be reliable, but subject to change. The opinions expressed in this show are opinions of the individuals, and they have not been approved by, and are not necessarily those of, QWealth as a firm. This is not legal, accounting, tax, or investment advice, and should not be relied as such.